saw Ray, and he said, boy, don't you lose your head, 'cause to tell you the truth, I've been with her myself. Walking on home, 'cause he didn't live far, you see, and he didn't have many friends, and he just lost him one. Brother thought his wife must have left town, so he went home and finally found the only thing Daddy had left him, and that was a gun. He went off to Andy's house, slipping through the backwoods quiet as a mouse, came upon some tracks too small for Andy to make. Screen at the back porch door, and he saw Andy lying on the floor in a puddle of blood, and he started to shake. The Georgia Patrol was making their rounds, so he fired a shot just to flag him down.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Democratic governors from New York, Minnesota, and Illinois testifying at a Republican-led House Oversight Committee hearing. It comes as immigration raids in Los Angeles have sparked nearly a week of protests and led to President Trump deploying federal troops to the sanctuary city against the governor's wishes. ABC's Jay O'Brien has details.
Well, Republicans on this panel push these Democratic governors, saying that they are breaking the law by not cooperating with federal immigration enforcement. We've seen Democrats on this panel do the same thing and say the administration is breaking the law with this troop deployment.
At least one person has survived the crash in northwest India. Officials say there were 240 people on board when the Boeing 787 went down. The NTSB is sending a team to help in the investigation. A New York judge today declaring a mistrial in the Harvey Weinstein sex assault case after jurors could not reach a decision on a rape charge. Yesterday, the movie producer was convicted on one count of a criminal sex act and acquitted on a second count. This is ABC News. Tensions between the U.S. and Iran growing ahead of nuclear talks this weekend. The U.S. now evacuating personnel from the region and military stations that could be targeted. And Israel is signaling it could take military action in the coming days. ABC's Louis Martinez is at the Pentagon.
Part of what that is based off of the concern that Iran may retaliate if there is an attack against the Iranian nuclear facilities, that they may retaliate not just against Israel, but against U.S. facilities in the region. And there is a precedent for that, because we heard yesterday from a senior Iranian official who essentially said that if the talks break down and there is a conflict, that the United States will feel action from Iran.
Heavy rains and flooding in San Antonio, Texas, blamed for at least four deaths. Officials say they recovered the bodies near a high water scene with cars swept away and 13 vehicles underwater. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayla. A new lawsuit accuses Elon Musk of a brazen scheme to bribe Wisconsinites to vote in the state Supreme Court race.
Filed in Dane County Circuit Court, the suit alleges Musk and affiliated political organizations engaged in a conspiracy to violate state laws against election bribery and unlawful lotteries. The lawsuit alleges that in the closing days of the election, Musk injected tens of millions into the race. paying millions directly to voters to influence them to vote for his endorsed candidate, Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel. They also offered million-dollar awards for Wisconsinites who signed that petition and voted or promised to vote. Schimmel lost to Dane County Judge Susan Crawford by 10 points. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A Milwaukee-based dog rescue has allegedly been secretly euthanizing animals under its care.
An investigation by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel shows Rescue Gang, a group founded in 2014, has had multiple dogs in its care put to sleep without notifying its members who help foster the animals. The group has had multiple claims filed against it with Wisconsin Consumer Protection and was fined for improperly bringing dogs to the state without veterinary checkups. The group is also accused of sending fake updates on dogs for several months to their foster handlers after having the dogs put to sleep months earlier. Rescue Gang Director Jennifer Trotman denied the claims by the Journal Sentinel. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You can play a role in protecting Wisconsin seniors from scams.
Ahead of World Elder Abuse Awareness Day on June 15th, the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection wants families to be aware of how scammers try to take advantage of older adults. The best things you could do to keep seniors safe is be informed, plan ahead, stop and think, talk to others about possible scams, and report them. Visit DadCap's website for more information on scams and how to avoid them. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
The 2025 Northern Wisconsin State Fair is back July 9th through the 13th in Chippewa Falls. Experience 5 full days of rides, food, animals, free attractions, and family fun. Plus, the Line of Kugel Main Stage brings you Montgomery Gentry featuring Eddie Montgomery, Hairball, Flo Rida, and Foreigner. Get your tickets and details at NWSFA.com. Make it a summer to remember. We'll see you at the fair.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy today, but still mild, with highs making it to the mid-70s and a chance of scattered showers and storms this afternoon. Let's continue through this evening, overnight, and even lingering through tomorrow, too. Need a new bathroom? Don't miss out on free premium upgrades from BCI Bath & Shower. 1-800-329-4115. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
2 hours with the House Ag Committee, and the Senate Ag Committee delivered its budget language. We'll get perspective on both of those. And we're coming up on the middle of June. We'll discuss the weather happenings that are having the greatest influence here in the Midwest.
Under the Midwestern influence via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Tom Sell from Combest Sell. Then it's Kevin Marcus of Marcus Weather. And directly following the news, Angie Stump Denton from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Kemp Lowry.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Welcome to AgriTalk. Glad that you have decided to join us here on this Thursday morning. Mm-hmm. Thursday morning.
And these folks have made a choice here to be here, and we appreciate it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We certainly do. Boy, some storms rolled through the Midwest, varying rainfall amounts last night. According to my little squirrel rain gauge, we had just over 3 inches of rain here at the ranch. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, north of me and northeast of me, I've gotten a couple of reports this morning on rainfall amounts, half inch to an inch. So I think I was in a spot that picked up some of the heavier rains here in the state from that system. So
I think they call that the million-dollar spot, don't they? You got one of the million-dollar rains is what you got?
Is that what it is?
You don't even have corn in the ground, do you?
No, I don't. I don't have corn in the ground. But, it's the timing to get Kevin Marcus in here and talk about the weather, I think, is about perfect.
For sure.
So that we can take a look at what might be the influences on the weather going forward. And if that pattern change that so many have anticipated, if that pattern change is still in the forecast or not. All right. And let's jump into it. Let's get to the news.
Sure, we'll get right to it. The National Weather Service is looking for heavy thunderstorms to continue, areas of excessive rainfall and locally considerable flooding over parts of the southern plains into the mid-Mississippi River Valley through Friday. Heavy to excessive rainfall may bring flash and urban flooding, along with isolated riverine flooding to a part of the upper Midwest on Thursday. That's today.
Yeah.
Go on.
Hey, just real quick. Yeah. East Texas is just getting smoked again. It is unbelievable how much rain they're getting down there. Six inches in the last 24 hours in San Antonio.
Is that right?
Man. It's crazy.
Well, corn and winter wheat futures featured two-sided trade overnight, while spring wheat built on yesterday's gains. Soybeans extended losses. The U.S. dollar index was around 800 points lower, trading to its lowest level since April 2022. And front-month crude oil futures were about $1.25 lower ahead of the open. Let's look over there now. Some slight gains in the corn market there. Yeah. That's very encouraging, Chip.
Yeah, steady to 2.25 higher in the corn market right now. You got soybeans just called steady to 4 cents higher. A little bit of strength coming in, and it's in anticipation, some position evening ahead of the reports.
Well, USDA's June crop production and supply and demand reports at 11 a.m. Central Time will feature the second winter wheat crop estimate, along with updated old crop and new crop balance sheets. Chip, we discussed some of the expectations yesterday in the afternoon show, coming up here in a little less than an hour.
Yeah. The winter wheat production estimate makes the wheat S&D tables a bit of a wild card, but I don't think that there are many changes expected on the corn and soybean balance sheets.
Well, Chip, House appropriators hit pause on a $25.5 billion fiscal year 2026 spending bill for food, drug, and agriculture programs, leaving final action until after lawmakers return from recess on June 23rd. The proposed measure stalled in committee as members prioritized defense spending legislation. Get this one, Chip. U.S. customs duties surged to a record $23 billion in May, sharply reducing the monthly budget deficit, according to the Treasury Department. As a result, May's fiscal deficit narrowed by 17% year over year to just $316 billion. However, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent warned the overall budget deficit, of course, does remain large. According to recent data from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, U.S. sales of combines and tractors dropped in all categories during May. Total tractor sales for ag were down 12%, combine sales 21% lower compared to May 2024. Kurt Blades from AEM said, quote, high interest rates, global trade uncertainty, increased input prices are all causing farmers to delay major equipment purchases.
Fits really well with the conversation that we had earlier this month with Jim Mintert from Purdue University.
Yep. Indeed. Well, U.S. and Canadian officials have exchanged a short working document outlining potential terms for a new trade deal. This, according to CBC News, signaling preliminary progress toward easing strained relations between the two countries. The document, described as fewer than 5 pages, Chip, includes Canada's willingness to join President Trump's Golden Dome missile defense initiative and emphasizes commitments on broader border security, NATO defense spending, and increased Arctic infrastructure development. Let's leave it there, Chip.
All right, excellent. Thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Angie Stump Denton, the editorial director at Drovers. Good morning, Angie.
Good morning, Chip. How are you doing today?
Doing real fine. You know where I'm going to start. I'm going to go straight to it. Everyone, Angie last night was awarded the 2025 Beef Improvement Ambassador at the Beef Improvement Federation Symposium. Angie, congratulations. That is quite the honor.
Thank you. It was very, very humbling and an honor that, as an communicator for 30 years, it's one of those things that you think maybe when I get closer to retirement, but it's such an honor. And I love the Beef Improvement Federation. And it's one of my favorite events of the year. You know, what's going on in beef genetics, genomics, and how seed stock producers, researchers, geneticists, they're helping us make beef better, cattle better.
Yeah, it's very cool. Very cool. Again, congratulations. Okay.
Thanks for that.
And it fits really, really well with what we're doing this week at Farm Journal. And you are talking about developing the next gen cow herd with genomics. Okay. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, so it's next gen week, you know, on our Farm Journal brands at Drovers. Not only did I look like the next generation of the producer, passing on the farm, succession planning, but I also looked at that next generation of the cow herd and how important it is as cattle producers to think about producing that next cow to be successful in the industry. And one of the stories that I had a great opportunity to do is I went and visited Rosebrook Farms in Lincoln, Kansas. And they have been using genomic testing in their commercial operation since 2013, Chip. 2013.
That's crazy. That is crazy. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me from a seed stock operation, but a commercial cow operation, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And it just talks about how genomics can be used across the industry today. You know, it started for them in progeny, or I'm sorry, in parentage verification. They turn out multiple bulls into the pasture. And so they were trying to figure out which sire was sire yeah. some heifers. And it's now turned into helping them pick that next replacement heifer. So they collect the tissue at branding yep. time before they go to pasture. They get that data back and it helps them make decisions to pick those replacement heifers
exactly.
that will work for them.
Exactly. Angie, thank you so much. Appreciate it. That is Angie Stump Denton from Grover's.
If you're looking for promises to overcome yield-threatening challenges, you might go with Big Seed. But if you're looking for real results, go local with Champion Seed. We know that what yields in one field may not be the right seed for the field across the road. That's why we test hundreds of traits and genetics every year to handpick a seed lineup that will perform. And we use local data to dial in on what grows best in your ground. Every field deserves its champion. Find yours at plantchampion.com.
The Dirt with me, Mike Howell, an economics podcast where I present the down and dirty agronomic science to help grow crops and bottom lines. Inspired by economics.com, farming's go-to informational resource, I'm here to break down the latest crop nutrition research, news, and issues, helping farmers make better business decisions through actionable insights. Let's dig in.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Every year,
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home. They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compure Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compure.com. Compure Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
UtterTech is celebrating June Dairy Month by donating 1 gallon of milk to area food pantries with every web order. Visit UtterTechInc.com and order your waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech working gear is ready to go for the next day. Visit UtterTechInc.com. Place your order, and UtterTech will donate 1 gallon of milk to area food pantries.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Champion Seed. Every field deserves its champion. Find yours at plantchampion.com.
I got a few years on me now. All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us. on this Thursday morning. Secretary Rollins, USDA Secretary Rollins, was before, I believe it was the House Ag Committee yesterday, and I want to get some reactions, pull some of the highlights, and we're going to do that with Tom Sell, Combest Sell and Associates. Tom, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Hey, Chip. I'm doing great. It's good,
good
to see you.
Good, good. Yep. It was the House Ag Committee yesterday, right?
That's correct, yep, under the leadership of Chairman G.T. Thompson of Pennsylvania. A lot of good member participation. Was a fun hearing.
Yeah, there was a whole lot of give and take in this one, wasn't there?
There was. I mean, she was up there. Well, it started about 10 o'clock, went to beyond 3 o'clock, little break for lunch, so a good 5 hours. And, man, right. she is not scared. She took the questions.
Okay, what were the highlights for you?
Well, Secretary Rollins is super articulate. She also showed a real kind of compassion, you know, spoke kind of from the heart a few times about kind of her passion in this job, her roots. You know, there's one scene where she was talking about kind of driving across the Northern Plains farm country, where she has some family roots in Northern Minnesota. And the exchange was actually on, you know, solar farms, taking up farm ground. And, man, she just got into it. And that was indicative of a lot of the areas. But topic to topic, whether you were talking about farm labor and the potential crisis there. By the way, President Trump sent this interesting True Social tweet this morning on what's going on in farm country with respect to DHS. Hopeful on that front. She engaged on that. She engaged on, you know, the disaster program and schedules and how important it is to get this stuff out timely. She commented she did not shy away from the talk about kind of staffing within USDA, the trade agenda, and kind of the hopefulness down the road, but took all the questions and all the input relative to the concerns of today, which are very real. So I think it was just impressive the way that the Secretary Rollins engaged with the members. I think the members felt heartened that she was taking them very seriously. You know, anytime there's an issue, it's like, let's go. Let's trade notes on this. Let's get to the bottom of it. So she was impressive in that way. I see a lot of challenges in farm country right now, but I think everyone felt like they had an opportunity to air those out.
Yeah, I agree with you. And she, obviously, she was getting some criticism from the Democrats on the panel, primarily. And she handled that well, I felt. Like you said, handled it with an attitude of, hey, we may have a different opinion on this, but we can figure it out and work it out.
Yeah, and she wasn't trying to hide. I mean, there are some in politics. Do is kind of just trying to avoid or hide from. She fully engaged. She leaned into every question, and you know, what that communicates is I want to get to a better place. I want to fix it. She knows. I think she is getting her hands around just the enormity of the challenge at USDA. This is a massive bureaucracy with a lot of really important functions that we kind of take for granted. We always say in kind of politics that the American consumer takes the American farm for granted, and that's true. But even in the American farm country, oftentimes we take the critical services that USDA provides, whether that's an APHIS border inspection or an AMS categorization of or classification of certain kind of grain trade so many things, or the research. So there's so many things that USDA does and is involved in that they do well, but they're not without their kind of unique challenges. And I think she is even getting her hands around the fact that, you know, this is a big animal. This is not an easy management job in our federal government. There is a lot to this that's fundamentally important.
Right. Right. Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about managing that job there. What do we need to know about Judge Stephen Vader?
I think it's Vaden. I don't know why you said Vaden. Vader.
I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding. Yes. As in Darth? No, I'm just kidding. Stephen is a brilliant lawyer, former judge on the International Trade Court. Is kind of celebrated in the legal community, particularly like in the Federalist Society, those who love kind of constitutional law He's kind of celebrated as a great intellectual on the right side of those ongoing kind of constitutional debates. So he's super respected in that field. He's a farm kid from Tennessee, and has background in that. From what I understand, still kind of manages some farm ground there. So he's this kind of unique combination of farm background, really high level and respected legal career, bringing that talent into the USDA. And of course, he was there in the previous Trump administration as chief counsel in the Office of General Counsel. And you know, all the folks who've had experience with him, including myself, it's always been good, thoughtful, deliberate, you know, engaging.
Good.
Again, kind of the same as Secretary Rollins, not scared of the issue. Let's get to the heart of it. And he takes the law seriously. So, you know, he's kind of unique. He's not like a out there, out front kind of.
Right.
As far as intellectual power and credibility within the White House, he has that in spades.
Gotcha. Good. Good. They should be a good team. The secretary and the deputy secretary.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, good, good. The Senate Ag Committee released its language for the budget reconciliation bill. Are there some highlights to pull from that? It looks, at my first glance, to be pretty similar to what is in the House.
Yeah, very similar. Very similar. You know, with just a couple little improvements and little exceptions. I mean, it makes these critical investments in Title I of the Farm Bill Safety Net. Increases a little bit what was in the House bill. So whereas the House kind of has, you know, there's a big focus on reference prices. And those were talked about a lot in the hearing with Secretary Rollins yesterday, kind of the floor safety net for these crops, the commodity crops that flow with kind of international prices. And, you know, for corn, for example, in the House bill, they had a 410 base price, but it can float over time, such as 85% of the previous 5-year Olympic average. And so what was a 410 base reference price actually floats up to 426. In the Senate, what they released yesterday, that actually floats a little higher. They use 88% as a factor. So in that case, your 410 would go to 442 for kind of a base reference price for corn, for example, 467 for sorghum, 1071 for soy. So all those are a little bit higher. But with respect to, you know, how the PLC program and the ARC choice exists, with respect to the plus ups to the crop insurance program at the enterprise unit level, trying to get people to purchase higher levels of insurance and stacking on top, a kind of an improved SCO, a lot of very similar provisions. So, you know, I think it'll be well received. I think it'll be very well received.
Good.
With a gasp of relief from rural America. This could actually get enacted and implemented for the 25 crop year. It'd be a huge deal.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And on the 25 crop year, not going to have to make you wouldn't have to make a selection under the Senate language on PLC or ARC. It would just pay the higher of the two because we're so deep into the process.
Yeah, and I think the smart provision, you know, crop insurance choices were already made. You know, your deadlines for electing our PLC are passed. They are making changes, and so I think it's really kind of noble and the right thing to do to say, look, no one's going to lose in this deal. We're just going to do the higher up. So I do like that provision a lot. Yeah, then going
absolutely.
Forward, you would have to make that choice year by year.
You'll have to make the choice going forward.
Yeah.
Last item here. We only got about a minute left. Progress on biofuels issues. It sounds like EPA is wrapping up their work, and we should get an announcement on the SREs and the RVOs here real quick.
Yeah, you know, the new administrator, Lee Zeldin, it's really interesting. You're right, and I can't pretend to know what exactly that will pretend. And, of course, Congress at the same time, in this reconciliation package, the tax portion of this with respect to sustainable aviation fuels, 45Z, all these provisions are, we still don't know quite yet where the Senate is going to settle, But I will say this, Chip. I think the prospects are good. I think there's going to be some positive things coming out on the renewable fuels front. So I think there are reasons, despite all the uncertainty in our world right now, trade agendas, all this kind of thing, there are reasons to be optimistic going forward. I'm excited about that.
Good. 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 Man, oh, man, we covered a lot of ground there, Tom. Thank you so much for making some time for us this morning.
You're always efficient. I don't know if I am, but I appreciate the opportunity. It's always great to be with you.
Love it. Love it. Thank you, Tom. That is Tom Sell, Combest Sell and Associates. Okay. Coming up next, we are going to take a look at the weather. We've got Kevin Marcus, Marcus Weather, next here on AgriTalk.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Corteva Agriscience has launched a pioneer-specific biologicals offering called Nexta. Yield potential is highest before the seed goes into the ground, and Nexta solutions protect and preserve this yield potential season-long with the start-grow-finish approach. Using Nexta solutions, farmers can stress less and yield more. Learn more about how Nexta solutions can increase your crop yield. Call Bauer Seeds and Service, your pioneer dealer serving Durand. Visit them online at BauerSeedsAndService.com.
Milk markets are lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. July milk down 9 to 18.16, August down 8 to 18.74, September steady at 19.10, October down 1 at 19.15. Live cattle markets mostly lower, with the exception of the nearby month. Feeder cattle are mostly lower. The WASDE report did share supportive news for both cattle and beef markets. Beef production was decreased as fed steer and heifer processing was lower than anticipated, and production throughout the rest of the year is expected to be light. However, the trade is still waiting for some technical support, really, to help move markets higher. Hog markets, meanwhile, were mostly mixed. Now, the packers have bought enough hogs for the week. The pork cutout values turned lower at the midday, and the WASDE report was mixed for both hogs as well. Pork production for 2025 was unchanged from last month's report, and so that is helping to provide a little bit of support for the markets. June live cattle up 17 cents to 228. August feeder cattle down 7 cents to 311. June hogs up 25 cents to 103.62. Chicago Board of Trade. Corn markets are slightly higher. Soybeans lower. Wheat lower. USDA's crop report was not a big surprise. Exports for corn were raised by 50 million bushels. Wheat exports were raised by 25 million bushels as well. But we do have some fund selling happening. That's pressuring some of the contracts, especially in beans. New crop corn up a half to 440 and a quarter. New crop beans down 2 and a quarter.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
The Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic is here for all your primary care needs. From annual visits and sports physicals to new or chronic conditions, our compassionate team looks forward to caring for you during all stages of life. For your convenience, we offer on-site lab, same-day appointments, physical therapy, and more services to come. Call the Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic to schedule your appointment at 715-926-1113.
opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us on this Thursday morning. I'm Chip. Davis is here, and we are going to bring in Kevin Marcus, Marcus Weather. Kevin, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chip. How are you?
Doing just fine, just fine. Good. Okay, so let's lay a little bit of groundwork as we get this weather conversation started here, Kevin. Where is the greatest influence on the Midwest weather coming from right now?
Well, you always have to look upstream, the Pacific Ocean temperatures and what's going on in the Indian Ocean factors in. And so we've had a fairly progressive pattern in the last few weeks and episodic heavy rain events. We had the deluge in North Dakota in late May. We got some in the forecast for portions of Minnesota, and it's been excessively wet across the mid and deep south. And so it hasn't come in well-distributed fashion. And in between, you have a relative drier slot in Nebraska and Iowa and northern Illinois. So it's a function of a fairly active jet stream, thanks to a strong thunderstorm activity back over Indonesia, helping to inject its exhaust into the jet stream. And that has now shut down, but that's what was helping to drive the pattern. And still continues to for another week.
Okay. All right. Kevin, I do not recall a June where Texas just was under a threat of severe weather and heavy rains like it has been this June.
Yeah, it's been a combination of a temporary revival of a subtropical jet. And associated with that, we've seen early hurricane formation west of Mexico. That's been, one example of the pool of moisture that's been available to drive into Texas. And we've also had a Bermuda high that's been sitting near its normal location, but stronger than usual because of such warm waters sitting off the southeast coast. And the return circulation around that has also been funneling in moisture. So Texas is getting hit from both sides, from the Pacific and the Gulf side, with ample moisture. So that's why they're unusually wet. And that's has bled up into the lower Red River Valley and Oklahoma.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Kevin, we don't need to spend a lot of time on this one, but I just want everyone has been talking about the wind. Is it windier than normal?
Yeah, we've had stronger contrast. It's driven by temperature contrasts, something called the Bernoulli principle, the squeezing of the atmosphere. The analogy is you put your thumb on the end of a garden hose and the water squirts out faster. So something is causing the wind to drive faster, and that's stronger temperature gradients from north to south at times. We've had some periods of spring where it's been as warm in Canada as it's been in Texas. Those would be periods of low wind, it's not atypical that yes, you're coming out of the winter that you still have some residual cold air pools left in North America, and the tropical air moving north. So that's that clash of air masses creates that. So we've had that in addition to the extra energy coming thanks to the South Pacific thunderstorm. West Pacific has been injecting extra energy, and I think that combination's given us this higher frequency of wind events.
Okay. All right. Let's get into some specific outlooks. Stay right here in the middle of the country, across the Corn Belt. You just mentioned that the pattern that we're in right now, it sticks around for another week?
Correct.
Okay. Then what?
Then what? The signals we've seen change have been moving in tandem to develop a ridge over the center of the country. So what we've been looking for is this triple ridge set up across our hemisphere. And that's, we have warmest waters in the Pacific south of the Aleutian Islands. That creates a stable environment in the Pacific for a high-pressure cell to build. So that gives us a location for that high-pressure cell. And, you know, we've had the warmest waters increasing in the northeastern part of the Atlantic. That's one of the reasons why we've seen such warm and dry conditions in Western Europe this spring, is because of a ridge over there. So that's becoming more established. So in the middle, the residual is for a ridge to pop, bubble up in North America. And its location is usually dictated by soil moisture feedbacks. And you know, we've had a lot of rain this spring. We still have residual drought in Nebraska, South Dakota, you know, even as far east as northern Illinois. And you say the soils have a memory here. Those are the areas that are don't have much rain in the next two-week forecast and are likely to stay dry into July. So we lose that evaporative cooling effect of the soil moisture, and a heat dome starts to build over those dry soils. Yep. And that's going to help amplify a ridge as we roll into July.
Okay. To the point that we need to be concerned about this, or is this just kind of typical summer activity, or does that ridge keep the rain out?
I think it's similar to 2022. I think the driest areas were west of I-35 corridor, Nebraska, Kansas, yeah. South Dakota, maybe. I think the epicenter is a little further north than what it was in 2022. Kansas has been catching some rain, so they're in better shape coming into this July period. But Nebraska northward, you know, the central northern plains and, you know, western Minnesota, western Iowa, so west of the I-35 corridor, you know, maybe as far southeast as northeastern quadrant of Missouri, that's the high probability for consistency of a warmer and drier pattern. The further east you go, you know, there's going to be more of a mix. There's a transition zone between eastern Iowa and northern Illinois. We might end up seeing Illinois continue its unusual pattern. It's been like the Goldilocks pattern in Illinois, too dry north of I-80, too wet south of I-70, and just right in the middle. And we may see that play out in this pattern type in July. So north of I-80 crops in Illinois don't do well.
Okay. Interesting. What about the temperatures? What should we expect there?
Yeah, temperatures will be fairly consistently 3-5 degrees above normal, which, I mean, that's doesn't tell you the whole story. What you really care about in pollination, how many days are going to be in the upper 90s, you know, up north of 95 degrees. And when you're averaging 3 to 5 degrees, your frequency of 95 plus degree days goes up. So even irrigated areas in Nebraska, let's say, can lose 10% of their corn yield. Temperature is going to be critical. This isn't going to be the, you know, 2012 style heat or even 2021 that we had in Canada, but it won't be too, especially in Canada. I mean, may not be too far off. I think this is going to be the second worst growing season in Canada compared to 2021 in the last 20 years. So the further north and west you go into the northern plains and the prairies, you know, the higher probability of this pattern being sticky through July and August. Further south and east you go, there's probably going to be some breaks over time to lessen, you know, the chance for heavy losses in corn and soybean yield. So we're looking at, you know, our model's reading about 182 bushels per acre today. Our trend, that's near trend, our trend assumption, but we think it's going to drop to, you know, down towards 176, 177.
Well, you know, I'm making notes on that one, Kevin. 176, 177. And that's where we would eventually be on your model if the forecast verifies. I get it.
Right. So not a disaster, but it's enough to rattle the market.
I would think. You know, we've talked about it quite often with analysts on the show, Kevin, that stocks are tight enough that any kind of a threat to yield should generate a response from the market. You mentioned Europe. What's the situation there?
Well, what's important is that we get simultaneously to the problems that are unfolding in North America, you know, southeastern Europe, even France. It's like a bimodal ridge there. We got some hot and dry conditions that are going to impact the French corn crop, you know, southeastern Europe. I think the European corn crop, which is, you know, around 60 million metric tons, could be in the low to mid 50s. Ukraine, Russia, part of it, at least the Russian part, Ukraine might catch a break here, but Russia grain areas for corn and sunflower likely to see a drop in the the center of the high pressure ridge in the Black Sea. We expect to be in the Ural Mountains range. So, you know, south and east of that area is a big chunk of their spring wheat crop. So while we're melting down the Canadian spring wheat crop, we're going to be doing the same for the Black Sea spring wheat crops during the month of July.
Okay. Some more issues to watch out there. We've got a minute left. Tell me about China.
China's got, this could be the second worst growing season to 2020 in recent history. That year we had drought in the North China Plain, and this year we have drought in the North China Plain. And you're at the highest sun angle time of the year, and it's tough to break down a severe drought. And, you know, forecasts are trying to do that, but I don't think that's likely to happen until we get into August before that. So hot and dry associated with that is going to lower their corn yields. And then further into the northeast portion of their growing area, we're expecting flooding in August and September, which we also had in 2020. And that could make the Chinese a little more anxious to do a deal here with the U.S. to purchase some grain.
Look at you connecting all the dots. I was thinking of doing that in the next segment, but you already did it. I mean, that's and it sounds to me like there is just general risk around Canada, Western Corn Belt, Europe, into Russia, and over into China. This is it is an amazing growing season. Kevin,
will be a shock to the systems coming, yes.
Yep. All right.
So thank you.
Hey, man.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you. You bet. Right, glad you were here. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin Marcus, Marcus Weather. All right. Davis and I have got some things to discuss. We'll do that next here on AgriTalk.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit Wisconsin Soybean.org.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Remember the last time you had your picture taken? What was it the photographer said to make you smile? Cheese. One of our favorite foods. We put it on burgers and sandwiches, omelets and quiches, and we love to fondue. Say cheese.
Today and every day, we salute our dairy industry.
Thank you, dairy farmers, for all your hard work throughout the year. This June Dairy Month salute brought to you by Security Financial Bank, Durand, River Falls, Eau Claire, Ladysmith, Bloomer, and Black River Falls.
At SFB Security Financial Bank, our agricultural relationship managers don't just know about banking. They possess hands-on experience in the agriculture industry. With long-term expertise and first-hand knowledge of the industry, our staff has your agricultural banking needs covered. Contact us today to learn how we can help. Security Financial Bank, Black River Falls, Bloomer, Durand, Eau Claire, Ladysmith, and River Falls. Member FDIC.
Growing season has started. We've got to be on the watch for some diseases out there. Let's talk about it with Tyler Harp, Syngenta Technical Product Lead for row crop fungicides. Tyler, tell me, what diseases should growers be on the lookout for this year?
Well, I'll tell you, in corn, certainly tar spot has kind of dominated the headlines over the last few years. Now, in 2024, diseases like tar spot, southern rust, and northern corn leaf blight alone were the leading disease threats, with over 600 million bushels at an economic cost of $2.7 billion, and that's according to the Crop Protection Network Yield Loss Calculator. Another one that's also very important are these fusarium ear rots, which are probably the second great cause of yield loss in 2024. Very important to think about these diseases.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What fungicide do you recommend to protect crops against that wide variety of diseases?
If you're going to use a premium fungicide out there and you want it to be as broad spectrum as possible, then Maravis Neo is the best bet for you out there. Maravis Neo is the only fungicide that has fusarium ear rots on the label, and it's also very good on tar spot and these other leaf spot diseases I mentioned. We've got 6 years of data across the Corn Belt testing Maravis Neo head-to-head against either untreated part of the farm or other competitive fungicides, and what we find is that in corn, we average between 13 to 15 bushels per acre over the untreated and between 4 to 6 bushels per acre. And on soybeans, we out-yield the untreated by 6 to 8 bushels per acre and 2 to 4 bushels over the next best competitor. And that's on an average return, showing a profitable return on investment over 80% of the time.
Excellent. Tyler, where can listeners go for more information about Miravis Neo?
Yeah, you can talk to your local retailer or your Syngenta sales representative, or you can go to SyngentaUS.com/MaravisNeo.
Thank you, Tyler. That is Tyler Harp, technical product lead for row crop fungicides at Syngenta.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
As we step into the heart of the U.S. growing season, brace yourself. This is traditionally the grain market's most volatile stretch. Recent months have already brought dramatic price swings, and more turbulence could be likely. Having a trusted advisor by your side can make all the difference when navigating this volatile landscape and spotting profitable opportunities in the chaos. Markets move fast. Preparation is key. Opportunity favors the informed. Let's make the most of this season together. Head to agmarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG. Well, welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here along with Chip Flory, as always. Good to see you, buddy. Thursday morning.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. 74 and cloudy here in Kansas City. I don't know if we're going to get any rain or not. The phone says, you know, I got this silly millimeter thing going on, but I think it is, it's demonstrative. We're expecting 1 millimeter of rain today and 2 millimeters of rain tomorrow. Why do you got to put that, you know?
Why does that?
How would you even measure that? I don't know.
It all feels
very theoretical. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we are 73 degrees up here with some, you know what? The sun is shining. It says we're cloudy, but the sun is shining out there. Yeah. Like I said, we had just over 3 inches of rain here at my home. Mm-hmm. Overnight, so heavy rain.
Yeah, it's too bad you didn't have any corn in the ground for that. You know, it just feels like opportunity lost.
Got to put that water to use.
You got to get that $1 million, baby. Okay,
yeah,
couple of things here. All right.
Yep.
And I'm going to list them out, and then I'm going to let you knock them down, and we'll discuss. Okay. I've got a veto from Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds. I've got Trump talking California EVs, and there's a Truth Social post about farm labor. Now, I'm not on Truth Social, but I believe you are. Should we start there?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we can definitely start there.
Are you okay? Okay.
Okay. Here is the post from Donald J. Trump at Real Donald Trump on Truth Social. Our great farmers and people in the hotel and leisure business have been stating that our very aggressive policy on immigration is taking very good longtime workers away from them, with those jobs being almost impossible to replace. In many cases, the criminals allowed into our country by the Biden are the people applying for those jobs. This is not good. We must protect our farmers, but get the criminals out of the USA. Changes are coming, is the last statement. Now, we have talked about this a million times, Davis. The immigration issues in this country are solvable if lawmakers want to solve them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's too good of an issue for them to point fingers at each other on that they just don't want to solve them.
Yeah.
And so, but, you know, this is a different cat. This Donald J. Trump is a different cat. Who knows? He may absolutely push through some sort of immigration change to get this thing done. The other thing on Trump that you mentioned, he didn't just address California's EV mandate. I think he kind of erased it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is just going on kind of even as we speak, right?
Right now. Right now. He is, yes, he is still speaking from the White House as we talk. So,
keep going.
Keep going. Keep going. You know, we've talked about this a couple of times in the past, but really what this does is it, a couple of things. The EV mandate on the cars, you know, that was one thing. But the EV mandate on the trucks, the semi-trucks, the for hauling and everything, that was the thing that had the industry just like, holy smokes, how are we going to do this? It was going to set the trucking industry back a long ways in California. Now, what this does is it creates an opportunity for the biomass-based diesel and the renewable diesel to gain some certainty that those products are going to be in demand long into the future, as long as they don't make the transition to EV trucks mandatory. Now, listen, if a trucker wants to have an electric vehicle and power that thing with electricity going down the road, go for it, dude. I got no problem. But industry-wide, I think that would be pretty difficult to do.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, Reynolds?
Yes, take us to the great state of Iowa.
Yeah, okay. Governor Reynolds in the state of Iowa vetoed a bill that would have stopped Summit Carbon Solutions from using eminent domain to gain access and build a pathway for the carbon pipeline. I've talked to more than a few Iowa farmers this morning. I wouldn't say that it is evenly split. I would say that there are more that are upset with the governor for not protecting their land rights than there are in favor of the move. Now, some of those that are in favor of the veto will come right out and say, listen, I don't want Summit Carbon using eminent domain to make their project work. It's just that this bill was not how to get it done. They put a lot of work into that bill. We talked to Chad Ingalls, the Iowa State Representative, during the Farmer Forum on Wednesday, and it was a very complex bill. And I think it's some of the complexity that may have been a barrier to business in other areas away from the carbon pipeline I think is why Governor Reynolds ultimately decided that she was going to veto the bill. But there is more than a handful of guys that I've talked with that are saying, let's get a special session going. Let's get this bill back in front of lawmakers, and let's see if we can override the veto. The House might do it. The House might do it. The Senate, the Iowa Senate, I'm not sure if they're going to be able to get it done or not. So it's never a dull moment, is there, Davis?
No, not in agriculture, baby.
Never a dull moment. And now we got this drought that Kevin is talking about.
Yeah,
we didn't even talk about that. In the Corn Belt, but, you know, all over. Hey, come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Mark Welch, Texas A&M.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use database uses photo matching technology across multiple social media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.org.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-230-2777. That's 800-230-2777. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Talks between the U.S. and Iran set to take place in the